Well, folks, welcome. Welcome to the 4-H Show. My name is Amy, and I am here live in the studio in Warren, Vermont. And I have a guest here today. I have Betsy Thomason, who is back in the studio, the revolutionary respiratory therapist. We are so honored to have her here today. And we are going to dive right in just a moment. We're going to play a little music. Let us get settled in for just a second. And let me remind you that you are listening to WMRW at 94.5 FM. And we are live in Warren, Vermont. And you can always find us online at WMRW.org. You can also catch the previous 2 weeks' worth of shows, of all the shows, at the Spinatron link on that website. So thank you for joining me. We're going to be talking all about breathing and health and happiness in just a moment. Thanks for joining me for the 4-H Show. Let's get started.
Just believe another day.
Well, folks, welcome back. We were just breathing here. That seems to be our theme song here at the 4-H show whenever we have Betsy Thomason on the air with us. Hello, Betsy.
Hi, Amy. Great to be here again with you.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you back. You were on a few months ago. I think it was December or November. And we had you on talking about breathing because you are the revolutionary respiratory therapist and breathing trainer, author of Just Breathe Out, and director of the Outbreath Institute.
Yeah, and I am called revolutionary because I've changed the definition of breathing from sucking air in to pushing it out.
Fantastic. And I have to tell the listeners out there that since I have read your book and I have been practicing the breathe out dynamic, my breathing has been so much better than it's ever been in my whole life.
So how do you know that?
Because it's relaxed. And it's had this ripple effect on my whole body.
That's what I want to hear about, the ripple effect.
Yes, everything else in my body feels relaxed. And it's something that's just so natural. Now, maybe it came really naturally to me. I know in the book you recommend, you know, practicing 5 to 10 minutes a day, every day. And maybe it's because I've done a lot of dancing and yoga and Tai Chi my whole life. You know, maybe it was easier for my muscles to learn it quicker.
Absolutely, sure.
But I just find that all throughout the day, whenever I notice my breathing out of sync, which I have been paying attention to for many years, so I notice it out of sync quite often. But all I have to do now is think of it, and my body automatically goes to that expansive in-breath. I mean, it's amazing. It does it automatically because I've been practicing the out-breath, which leads to this just natural. I love how natural. It's a rebound effect that our bodies just do. It's about allowing it to happen. And then as a consequence, I feel more in flow with life in general. In this massive way. It's been revolutionary for me. So I want to thank you so much, Betsy. I know I've kind of made it my own in a way, but it's working for me tremendously.
Wow, the expansiveness of the word revolutionary. It's revolutionary for everyone. And, you know, I want to comment on the fact that you have experience with yoga and dance, which are very much connected to breath. Mm-hmm. So your body was more aware, but even for you, the difference is between the breathe out dynamic system and, let's say, your yoga experience, is that the breathe out dynamic system is designed for use with activities of daily living. You know, we often go to a yoga class and then that's it. We come home and we get busy in life, but we're not focused on using our breath to help us as we make dinner or, you know, lift the heavy roast out of the oven or, you know, push the vacuum cleaner around.
And that's what it's all about.
Or a shovel, right? Yes. We did a little shoveling this morning of ice, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because that's all of our movement, all of our muscles are relying on our breath.
Exactly. For energy. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a big difference between practicing yoga and learning the breathe out dynamic system. If you know yoga, it's going to be far easier for you to grasp the concepts and utilize them.
Yes, and Tai Chi too, which mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All those wonderful physical arts.
Yeah. Yeah, which often do focus on an exhale as part of them. Yes, and something I know here on the 4-H show, and the 4-H's stand for health, harmony, happiness, and humor. We've had several guests over the past 6 months that I've been helping with the show whose subjects, bring up health issues that can be really affect our balance, our energy, say things like electricity or 5G. We had mm-hmm. some folks on concerned mm-hmm. about 5G. All of these different things seem to be throwing us off of our center. And what I love about this breathe out dynamic and just the breath in general is that it can help us find our center and our rhythm and connect to the earth and not let these other intrusions maybe affect us so much.
Yes, it brings a lot of peace to body and mind. We often discount body. We have all kinds of prohibitions about what we can do, how we approach a project or whatever. But it has to do with our body, and bodies are what make our life reality. Without our body, we're not here on Earth.
It all starts here.
Yeah. Bodies are wonderful.
Right. And some of the themes, I just re-listened to my interview with you last fall, and some of the themes had to do with well-being and courage, trusting that tap on the shoulder. You had some great examples in your life where that had happened, and you followed that and had the courage to do that. But faith, really that faith and love of our bodies.
Yeah, faith in yourself. Faith that you're here for a reason, and you have to figure it out. You get to figure it out. Nobody needs to tell you what it is, but you need to let it percolate to the surface.
Right, and a lot of times we're so distracted that it's hard to hear that, to feel that tap on the shoulder, and then to have the courage to do it. Mm. I loved your story of how when you first went in to help that woman who was having trouble breathing on a ventilator, and you went in, and it seemed like it was your first time teaching her the pinwheel technique. Was that when you invented it, or?
I don't know that invent is the right word. Yeah, created. It came to me. I was always looking for new ways to teach the breathe out dynamic system, because it's not intellectual. It's not brain stuff. You can read my book, but it's, even in the book, I emphasize this is physical education. And what does that mean? Yeah, we have physical education teachers in school, but I believe they're not valued as highly as they should be. Mm-hmm. The physical body is smart, so smart. And yet, physical education classes are being eliminated all the time. Mm-hmm. For computer classes or whatever, but being connected to the human body is hugely important. Being connected in a positive way, and to discover how to teach your body, how to teach your muscles. It's about teaching muscles how to work more effectively, efficiently. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, which will give us more energy.
Yeah. So these pictures, like the pinwheel, like the bellows, muscles learn best through pictures. It could be a picture in your mind, it could be a picture on the wall, it could be a picture out the window, but it's your imagination going to work to help your muscles function at their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if that's like the mirror neurons, or I know when I was a studying dance, we would visualize the move before we'd go try it, so mm-hmm. that you really, mm-hmm. your muscles knew what they were aiming for, sort of.
Yeah.
They learn by mimicking in some ways, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That image in your, mm-hmm. imagination is hugely powerful.
Right. And so you explained that there was a woman in the other room, and you were new to respiratory therapy practice, and she was struggling to breathe, and you went in and explained the pinwheel process. Can you walk us through that again? That was a beautiful story. And you had a tap on the shoulder, and you were like, what am I going to do? And you just trusted that tap.
Yeah. So, I don't know if this is exactly the same story that you were thinking of, but let me tell you a pinwheel story.
Okay.
I worked for over 10 years as the respiratory therapist on staff at the ALS clinic in a hospital in New York City. And my job was basically to measure people's vital capacity, which is how much air you can blow out in one big breath. And it's for people with declining neuromuscular activity, it's a discouraging effort, because when you come back in a few months, chances are your breathing capacity will have diminished. But that's not, let me just digress a moment. That's because you Well, mainstream medicine is not helping you to improve anything when you have a neuromuscular condition. It's just downhill, you know. Doesn't have to be that way. Then that's a story for another program. But so I was, once a week I would measure 10 people's vital capacity. In that process, I wanted to leave them with something. I wanted to teach them something that they could learn over the course of the next few months, something that would benefit them with relaxation, with more energy, something that might give them actually some hope. So without telling them a lot about what I was doing, I just asked them to put up their index finger in front of their face and blow on it as if it were a pinwheel, because this is their out-breath. I didn't say anything about the out-breath. It's just blow on your imaginary pinwheel and keep it spinning. And while they were doing that, pausing, letting the air come in, getting back to blowing on their pinwheel, I watched their bellies. And without me saying a word about doing anything with belly muscles, on the out-breath, their belly would retract towards their spine. And as they relaxed for the in-breath, their belly would pop out, which is absolutely normal. Hmm. Now, these are people who have neuromuscular problems, who cannot fully activate their muscles, but their belly muscles were working. And I just, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And over again, I saw the same thing. People's bellies would go in for the out-breath and pop out for the in-breath without any instruction. So images are hugely important, and you might not respond well to the image of the pinwheel. That's fine. You will discover some other image that works for you. There are umpteen images that you could come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people listening out there may be aware that they have maybe a little trouble with a healthy breathing pattern, with healthy respiration, because maybe they have asthma or some condition. But it seems like it's a chronic problem for everyone.
And maybe you don't even notice that your low energy or your inability to sleep well has anything to do with breathing.
Right, right. Like people may not even be aware that they have a problem with breathing, because it's so chronic in our culture.
It is. And I would take the bus into New York one day a week for over 10 years, and I would watch people breathing. And I would count in my head their breathing rate, and usually it was at least 20. It was often up to 30, and this is how I knew. I haven't worn a watch in a long time. But what I would do is as they started their out-breath, I would count in my head 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 1,000. That's a second. Each second, 1/1,000 is a second. So 60 seconds in a minute. And if I got to 2/1,000 and they switched, let's say, from out-breath to in-breath, 2 divided into 60 is 30 breaths a minute.
And what's average? Okay. Or healthy. I mean, maybe not average.
Well,
what are we aiming for?
And actually, the textbooks say 12 to 20, but there are people out there would challenge that's too high even.
Really?
And 20 is high normal. You can do much better than 20. You can get yourself down to 12 or 15 very easily, very quickly, without a lot of forethought. It's just in the process of learning this, your body is going to love what you're doing, and you're not going to be stressed or triggered to breathe fast. Your body is just going to settle down and appreciate the slower pace. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Don't recommend focusing on counting your breaths. It's not necessary. It's
count like other people's breaths on the bus.
Have some fun. Yeah, have some fun with it. Yeah. But it's like, don't count your heart rate all the time, or don't get on the scale and weigh yourself.
Oh,
it will drive you mad.
Oy, because it's normal to fluctuate up and down.
Absolutely.
And people are different weights for different reasons. Yeah. You could be perfectly healthy
yeah.
in that.
Yeah. yeah. So you want to know to begin with what your breathing rate is, but you can't do it yourself. You have to have somebody watch you without you knowing it. Mm-hmm. And just let you know what it is. And then, you know, a month later or whatever, just check it again and see what's different. But breathing rate changes throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It's not a consistent rate. It depends on what you're doing, what you're thinking, what you're feeling.
Yeah, so you just mentioned stress or triggers, which could cause us to breathe faster, right? What are some other things that increases our body's need for oxygen just naturally?
Pain.
Oh, pain. Interesting.
Yeah, pain.
When we're in pain, our bodies need more respiration?
Pain triggers our autonomic nervous system to go into high gear, which always always demands more energy. Your autonomic nervous system, that's the part of your nervous system that you have, your brain does automatically. You personally have no control over your autonomic nervous system. It controls your heart rate, a lot of things related to digestion, I'm losing my train of thought here. We've covered so many things here.
But when it kicks into high gear,
yeah,
you can't
so,
do anything.
Yeah. So the breathe-out dynamic system, with this focus on the out-breath, it stimulates your autonomic nervous system, that part that you really have no control over, but with your breath, you can influence it. Your out-breath stimulates your autonomic nervous system to quiet down, to go from fight and flight response, which gets you all revved up and gets all your juices flowing and demands so much of your body, which includes more oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find yourself in that state, let's say you're driving and somebody cuts you off and you immediately go, and like, it's, oh my God, I almost died.
Yeah, your heart starts pounding.
What do you do? Because that stiff in-breath triggers your autonomic nervous system to go into the fight and flight response, which we're trying to avoid. It's helpful because it can give us instant energy to do something if we need to, but it can also influence our thinking and keep us from thinking clearly. And so we need to calm down. How do you calm down out of that revved up state? Mm-hmm. You focus on your pinwheel, or you squeeze your sponge, which is your belly, and focus on your out-breath. A few out-breaths will help your nervous system to get back into a slower gear that's more relaxed, not so demanding of all your organs. Mm-hmm. And we can credit the out-breath for that.
Yes, definitely. It's way more efficient.
Yeah, and gives you a sense of, I'm not crazy about the word control, but you have some say in the management of your body. Management is a good word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, management.
Yeah, you're part of the team now instead of just being dragged along.
Yes, yes.
And feeling, I think a lot of people do feel that sort of disconnect from their bodies.
That it's out of control, it's doing its own thing, and I don't like it, but what can I do?
Right, that defeatist attitude. And that was one of our main themes last time, was the well-being and the belief in healing.
Absolutely, believing that you can do it, that it's worth the struggle. And it can be a struggle. I'm dealing with detoxing from Lyme, 30 years of Lyme, and I will tell you, if I didn't know the value of my out-breath and how beneficial it is to help me deal with not only the physical issues related to detoxing, things like muscle spasms and fasciculations, which are little tiny pinpricks of motion in your limbs, mostly legs. At least for me, it's mostly legs. But all kinds of muscle twitching, stiffness, that has to do with detox process. If I didn't know how to relax my body and with my out-breath, I would be overcome with deep depression, I'm quite sure. Because I've had waves of it for an hour or a day, you know. And then my out-breath reminds me that my body needs to be stretched. I need to go out for a walk. I need to do this or that or the other thing with my body.
Mm-hmm.
Get up out of the chair.
Yes.
And move my body, even if it's just bouncing up and down on my feet. That feels good too, you know. But being connected strongly to my breath has really helped me to continue the hard work of detox.
So helping with any sort of pain, discomfort, physical or emotional, I'd imagine. You know, you get that awful text message or that response or that phone call and you hang up the phone, and how do you come back to center?
Yes.
Because a lot of times I feel, especially in the world today, I keep getting, there are lots of things trying to throw me off my center. Bad news or different things. And if I can come back to breath, I can handle them. I feel strong and competent, and like I can figure out something to do to help.
Yes, and over time, your breath has proven to you. It is proven to you that it can be reassuring.
Yeah. So, some other things besides pain and stress
that sap strength.
Yeah.
Just living in our fast-paced culture can do it. You know, because we have all these expectations for ourselves, or we think that other people have expectations that we need to abide by. And that can be very challenging, debilitating, sap our strength, and make us wonder, how are we going to get through all this? So when in doubt, I tell people, when you just don't know what to do next, just breathe out. Breathe out. That's the name of the book. And that's actually how I came up with a title. A friend asked me, well, what's your book about? And she was trying to help me find a title. And I said, well, it's really, you just have to breathe out. And it really is that simple.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not complex. It's not. And the beauty of the Breathe Out Dynamic System, or BODS, and I love the acronym because it's one letter short of body, and this is really about your body. So, and I call my body BODS. Thanks, BOD, I'll say to myself after I've just climbed up a hill, you know, without losing my breath. Thanks, BOD. Thanks be to BOD.
Yes.
So, bodies are amazing, and we need to be more connected to them and more thankful to them every day for keeping us here in the world.
Yes, and I want to remind listeners, it's 12:30, and I just want to remind you that we are listening to, you are listening to the 4-H Show, and our guest today is Betsy Thomason, the revolutionary respiratory therapist. And we have been talking about breathing and her book, Just Breathe Out, and her website, which is the, what is it again?
Outbreathinstitute.com. Outbreathinstitute.com.
And just to let folks know, I'm going to just break in real quick that this preceding and following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Roots Work. Just want to sneak that in there. So if we could focus just for a moment, too, on smoking, if you don't mind, because I did remember listening to the interview with you before that you had some experience working and doing even exercise with folks who were former smokers. And I know that this is a big subject folks struggle with. I'm a former smoker myself, and so I understand how difficult it is to quit. And I'd imagine that the breathe-out dynamic could help even with that, with the nicotine cravings and with loving our bodies and appreciating our lung function.
Yeah. You know, as much as I want everyone to quit smoking, I know that for some people, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's super strong addiction.
It
is.
And I can remember I was traveling, I think I was in Tennessee maybe or Kentucky, and I was in the backwoods and at a boat ramp, and I came upon this guy, a nice guy, who was telling me all about the lake and the history of it, and then he whips out a cigarette, and I asked him if he had considered quitting, and for the first time I understood why it was just not possible for some people. He had a long history from childhood smoking, and it came from a family that was not loving, and smoking was his way to actually connect with his body.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing there, isn't there?
Interesting dynamic there. So, really neat guy, and I thought, you know what, Betsy, you need to keep your mouth shut sometimes about smoking. But what I have found is that there's no reason why you can't learn the breathe-out dynamic system and be a smoker. And number two, people who smoke and exercise, this is my down and dirty study. It's totally not...
not statistically accurate.
right. Is that people who smoke and exercise, whether they have a physical job, let's say...
That counts.
Whatever your physical job is. Physically demanding job. You're not sitting behind a desk. You're out moving your body all day long. They are less affected by things like emphysema that destroy lung tissue. So if you must smoke, you must take a daily walk. You know, make a little pact with yourself. Okay, you know, I'm going to do that. I can't seem to shake this habit, but I'm going to create a healthy one to go along with it. And I think you'll find that you're able to handle things much better.
Right.
It's a lot of payoff.
Right, because there is a connection between exhaling and smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Well, that's what I ask smokers. So what part of the breathing cycle do you dwell in, let's say? You know, do you really like? What makes you feel better? And it varies, but certainly the out-breath is a good choice because it's stimulating your autonomic nervous system to relax.
And you're visually seeing it. So there's that confirmation of, you know, visually to your muscles, which we know muscles need that visual. Interesting. Smoking as a breathing type, not recommended by any.
No.
The downsides are way too, which is where the cost-benefit analysis must always be done.
Yeah. And then I would say to someone who's smoking, don't doubt that you could quit.
Never doubt.
Learn the breathe-out dynamic system. If it's something you really want to do, grab onto it. Grab onto the vision. Do a vision board. You know, a vision board is just a piece of cardboard or a board, and you put some pictures on it that are meaningful to you of things that you envision happening to you. In fact, I did one a few years before I came to Vermont, and on it there was a cow. I moved to a road that has two farms on it with cows. So you just, you know, what you say, what you do is so powerful for the future.
Right. And I've noticed I've given up nothing compared to quitting smoking, but just some little habits that I had, little bad habits of thinking or behaving, just little things that I've been trying to address. And since I've been breathing this way and just breathing better, I don't know if it's about having the confidence, the centeredness, the groundedness, the faith in myself, connection to myself. I'm more dedicated to me and my well-being.
That word confidence came up to me before, just as you were saying it. It came to me. Yes, confidence. We need belief in ourselves.
Yes.
In our ability.
That's revolutionary.
Yeah. In our ability to overcome adversity, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
There are so many negative messages being put out right now. All these disasters. And I work with kids. And so, you know, for the past couple decades or more, it's been just one disaster, you know, after another, that they just feel looming over them as they're trying to grow. And you can really see how that impacts.
Yeah, and find their way in the world.
Right. And their development and their sense of hope and initiative. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that you were mentioning that what you were measuring for your clients was their vital capacity, their capacity to breathe out. And so, can you just help explain to us why breathing out is so important? What is the main functioning? What's going on there?
Yeah. As I was writing the book, this became more apparent to me. Writing the book was a learning process for me. It took 10 years. And in that time, I met people. I asked questions. I found new answers. And one of them was from a doctor, Josiah Child, who is a pediatrician who now runs the emergency department at the Los Alamos Medical Center in New Mexico. And he is a cyclist and a user of the Breathe Out Dynamic System. And he was one of my supporters as I was writing the book, and he was my medical go-to person. And he explained to me in very visual terms, which amazed me, why the out-breath focus is so important. So he asked me to visualize a cruet. That's the word he used. It's an old-fashioned word for a jug, really. It's a small jug that you put oil and vinegar in to make a salad dressing. And he said, imagine the cruet. And he called this, he was making lung vinaigrette. Okay. Imagine this cruet. Now, normally it would have oil and vinegar in it. When it's sitting on the table, the heavier oil is at the bottom, and the lighter air is at the top. And let's do oil and vinegar. So the oil is heavier, and it's on the bottom, and the vinegar is on the top. In your lungs, lungs are a container just like a cruet, and the cruet is rather the shape of a, if you can expand your imagination a little bit, of a lung. When you're breathing 20 or 30 times a minute, the air comes in and the air remains at the top of your lungs, so up in your chest. So when you're called a chest breather, it's because you see your clothing moving as you're breathing up there at the top, right under your chin, moving. You see your chest moving. So the air goes into your chest, but it never gets down into your lungs, which are wherever you have ribs. If you put your little fingers at your waist and then your fingers up again under along your chest, you'll feel your ribs. That's where your lungs are located. Now, the lungs are surrounded by blood. It's not loose blood. It's in these capillaries, microscopic hair-like capillaries that just surround the lungs. When you're breathing shallow, the air that you breathe in is at the top, and the blood is the lungs. The blood is at the bottom of the lungs. The problem is that it never gets shaken up. The blood needs the air needs to reach the blood in order for that oxygen molecule to jump onto the hemoglobin molecule in the blood. So that air and the blood must mix. But when in our fast-paced culture with our high breathing rate, it's like that cruet of oil and vinegar with the vinegar on top and the oil at the bottom. Never mix. So how do you shake it up? You use your belly, actually. It's your belly, the squeezing of your belly on the out-breath that pushes your guts up against your diaphragm, which is the most important muscle of respiration. And your diaphragm is directly under your ribs, high in the front, low in the back. So your guts on your out-breath squeeze and push up against your diaphragm, which pushes against your lungs and squeezes the air out of your lungs. In so doing, the pressure pushes the blood, which is in the bottom of your lungs, it pushes the blood up to the top of your lungs. When you release your belly muscles, the next breath comes in and it gets sucked down to the bottom of your lungs.
Ooh.
So the two can mix. The blood and the oxygen can mix, and the oxygen molecule can get into the blood. And then there's another step. The blood has to get out into circulation in your body in order to help your organs. It's not enough for the blood to be in your lungs. It needs to be pushed into the circulation. Mm-hmm. So the out-breath helps in that way, too, to push the blood, which goes back to the heart, to be pushed out by the heart to the extremities of your body. So out-breath is hugely important for the full functioning of all organs. All organs must be supplied with blood, ideally blood that is well oxygenated.
Mm-hmm. And the heart first. The heart takes first dibs.
Yeah.
Right? On that oxygen supply.
Yeah.
And then, wow. So I can imagine how that diaphragm could really, you know, once it relaxes and drops, how that would just almost like, I'm sort of picturing like a whirlpool pulling the oxygen, the air
the suction,
from outside, the suction down to the bottom of my lungs.
Yeah. I have so many images rushing through my head right now.
Good. That's radio for you. At its best.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
images.
Okay.
Yeah,
images.
Yeah, the whirlpool and the shaking up of the oxygen is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just wondering if perhaps you were mentioning earlier that smokers, and I agree from my own informal, just observational, you know, research that is not quantitative at all, of smokers who are active. And like you said, even if they work active jobs, which a lot of people do, you know, waitressing, cleaning, whatever you're doing out there, running around, they do seem to be a little healthier than, say, folks who are smoking and sedentary. And perhaps it's that shaking up. Maybe they are getting that benefit of, despite what's being deposited in their lungs from the tar and whatnot from the cigarettes, they're also maybe countering that a little bit with sucking in oxygen on a regular basis deep down into their lungs.
I believe so. Yeah.
To compensate. Yeah, well, another question. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Another question, a follow-up a little bit, was hemoglobin and iron levels. We got onto that a little bit last time with COVID, and you were talking about that it didn't matter with the ventilators. You had written an article about that.
Right.
Because of the hemoglobin and iron, and iron deficiency is the most common deficiency on the planet.
Yeah, and if you don't have hemoglobin in your blood, it means there's no place for the oxygen molecule to land, to be transported throughout the body. So eating well, you know, eating iron-rich food, which includes meat, is very, very important for health. So you could be breathing just fine, but if your hemoglobin is low, then you are going to have all kinds of other problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the oxygen might be there, but you just can't get it to your body.
Moving around into the tissue, right? We have to get it out into the tissue.
And one of the symptoms of low iron or anemia, which is when it's a more severe case, is difficulty breathing.
And tiredness. You have no energy.
Pounding heart.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety, mm-hmm. because your body is mm-hmm. perhaps in that mm-hmm. fight or flight. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get your attention. Hello, yeah. emergency yeah. here. Do yeah. something. And we don't recognize it most of the time.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So paying attention to those iron levels is also important.
And you know what? I'd like to just mention it. And actually, I haven't mentioned it to you, Amy. It's new since the last 3 years. I'm actually doing a breathing workshop in March, on March 18th. Saturday, March 18th, down in southern Vermont at the West Townsend Country Store. It's a free workshop, 2 hours from 10 a.m. to noon. I'm starting to do them now. I'm feeling more energized, and people are coming out of the woodwork looking for community, looking for opportunities to learn new skills, learn new fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to traveling around, actually, and doing a few more workshops. I think it's very important.
Yeah, so what's this workshop about?
It's a basic how to learn and practice the breathe-out dynamic system. Sitting in a chair, standing up, walking, especially walking.
Ooh.
Yeah, climbing stairs. Climbing stairs are a great exercise. If you can't get out, because the snow and your favorite road is icebound, climb the stairs. I have stairs that go up to a loft that I've closed for the winter, but I just go up and up, forward and down, backwards, and you know, do a 10 or 12 and of those, and you will really feel like you've had a little exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely good training.
Yeah. So it's about learning the basics of the breathe-out dynamic system. Mm-hmm. And what I recommend to everyone is before you come to any kind of class or even call me, I also do free phone consults, is to go on YouTube, listen to the 10-minute video, read Chapter 3 in the book. Chapter 3 and this 10-minute video are the How to Do It guides. So those are the most important things to keep in mind.
So the 10-minute YouTube video, is that the one with the music instructor, the singing instructor?
No, that's another one.
If we go on YouTube and search Betsy Thomason.
Yes, apparently some people have been doing that. Cause I just mm-hmm. got an email from someone today who also found that is Park Ridge Television, PKRG, On Demand. I used to live in Park Ridge, New Jersey, and Laurie, the interviewer, and I lived in Park Ridge.
Okay.
So PKRG TV on YouTube, and you will find the Betsy Thomason interview.
Ooh, shout out to our public access TV
channels.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for the service they provide.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's excellent. So so we can brush up on watching that video, reading Chapter 3 of the book.
Yeah, so you can learn a lot of this on your own. Mm-hmm. Some people are better at learning things on their own than others, but at least know the underpinnings of it, so that when you come to a workshop, you have an advantage. You have a little head start.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the second time you hear some of this information, and sometimes it takes us a few times hearing things to really make sense of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially something like breathing, where you're turning things upside down. Here you've been breathing one way. You thought all your life it was about the in-breath.
The in-breath.
And now I'm coming around telling you, no. It's about pushing the air out and letting it in. Letting means no effort. Just the release of your belly. In fact, you know, I learned so much when I was writing the book. I was sitting at my desk one day looking at my hand, and I was relaxed, and my hand was relaxed, and it was cupped. It was just draped, like it might be draped, relaxed over the arm or rest of a chair. And I thought, you know, this is the way the diaphragm looks when it's relaxed.
Oh.
When the diaphragm is relaxed, it's dome-shaped, and it's pushed up. Your guts push it up under your ribs, so it's domed. It's in a relaxed state for your out-breath. When you stop blowing out and you relax your belly and let your muscles go and your belly pops out, mm-hmm. your diaphragm does its most important work, which is to drop down, and it expands. And in expanding, it pulls your lungs down. And it might only be an inch. Yeah. It doesn't need much. What it's doing is changing the pressure inside your body and creating that vacuum that sucks the air in. This is revolutionary because when your diaphragm is doing the hard work, all you did was release your belly. And the diaphragm knew what to do. It dropped down to do its hard work mm-hmm. without much effort. So you saved a ton of energy by letting your muscles work in a relaxed state.
Right. And energy is actually what oxygen is all about. It's so that our bodies can burn the energy. And so any efficiencies at all are a huge, huge benefit
Absolutely.
To every cell in
yeah.
your body.
Yeah.
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 Oh, revolutionary. and so also, I was really curious, too, about the, you were teaching exercise classes for folks who were maybe former smokers or current smokers
right.
who had heart conditions. What sorts of exercise could people start with, even though maybe they think they can't exercise or it's difficult
yeah,
to?
Yeah. A couple of things come to mind. One is raise your arms over your head.
Ooh.
Getting your hands up to the ceiling, stretching up to the ceiling, or holding your arms out horizontal and see how long you can hold them there.
Mm.
That's a tough job, but you will notice yourself getting better at it. And when it gets really difficult, when your muscles are starting to talk to you, make sure you're focused on your out breath and feeding your arms oxygen. So anything up over your head, brushing your hair. You
mm-hmm.
know, one of the reasons we exercise, especially as we get older, is so that we can continue to do activities of daily living for ourselves. You can put your pants on standing up. You can balance on one foot and get your socks on. I can do that. I pride myself in being able to do that, because then when you go out on an icy day like today, chances are, if you fall, you're going to recover much more quickly, or you might not fall at all because your muscles are so well tuned. So lifting arms overhead is a great thing. In the book, there is a series of exercise that I call the rollover. And you lie in bed or on the floor, and you're on your back. You do bicycles on your back. So your legs are moving. And I also do arm bicycles at the same time.
Mm.
So you're on your back, you can do bicycles, and then you let your imagination roam. You can do leg lifts, you can do any kind of movement, as long as you're sure to protect your back and not strain it. You don't want to lift both legs at the same time because that puts a strain on your low back. One leg at a time, and when you do the bicycles, just make sure that your legs are over your hips so that you have less drag on your low back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to your side and you do leg lifts on your side
mm-hmm.
and knee bends and all kinds of things. And then you go on your belly and you pretend you're swimming and you're paddling your legs.
Or having a tantrum on the bed when you were a
right,
kid. I remember
right,
doing that.
Right. Yeah. That expends a lot of energy, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the point. Right?
Yeah. So lying in bed when you're waking up is a wonderful time to stretch. Mm.
Yeah, because that floor time, I mean, a lot of people are saying that babies aren't getting enough of that floor time. So they're not learning that balance, that movement, that rolling, you know, to all of those things. But grown-ups need that too, I think.
Yeah.
And the bed is a good idea if you can't get on the floor necessarily.
Yeah, if you can't get up from the floor easily, mm-hmm. your bed will do. And I'm glad you mentioned infants because their learning is totally physical education.
Yay.
They're learning to move their bodies.
Yeah.
They're learning from us as we hold them. They're learning our fast breathing habits from us when we hold them. So it's very important for us when we're holding our kids, our grandkids, to be relaxed and let them feel that long out breath. Because, you know, they were born screaming. That's their out breath.
Mm, yes.
That's their out breath. So they know about the out breath.
They know about it.
they do. And the sad part is that they learn about the in breath from us, and they switch from breathing out to sucking air in. And we don't want that. We want to prevent that. Mm-hmm. We want to teach our kids to breathe with their out breath focus first. They will thrive focusing on their out breath. And when your kid or grandkid falls and cries because they got a hurt on their leg, crying is good. It's your out breath. And maybe if you've taught them about the out breath with the pinwheel, you can just have them blow on their pinwheel and help them manage their pain.
That's brilliant. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I'm so glad that we ended this first hour with Betsy Thomason, the revolutionary respiratory therapist, talking about children and babies and how we can teach it and play it forward, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we are just winding up our first hour here on the 4-H show, and we are going to come to a temporary conclusion for those of you listening live, because this show is going to be rewrapped and resubmitted and replayed later this week. This first hour will re-air on WMRW 94.5. WMRW-LP in Warren, Vermont. And we are just finishing up the first hour of the 4-H show with Betsy Thomason. Let me remind you where you can find her things. Go ahead.
Yes, Outbreath Institute, Outbreath Institute.com. You can also email me, BZ as in zebra, Thomason, Thomason at gmail.com.
Fantastic. And you're offering a workshop in West Townsend, right?
West Townsend, Vermont, on Saturday, March 18th from 10 to noon. It's free. Just come right along.
Fantastic. And we were talking about bringing workshops to my area, too. And any of you listening out there, I'm sure now that Betsy's hitting the road with her show here, maybe you can bring her to your town.
Yeah, or libraries,
your community senior centers. Yep. Yeah, let's do it. Let's spread the word. This is so exciting. Yes. So exciting to bring in real Vermonters here on the 4-H show, Health, Happiness, Harmony, and Humor. We have certainly been covering all of those H's here this morning. For those of you listening live, we're going to continue for a few more minutes after the top of the hour. I'm just going to bugger off for a moment and let the music play. I did bring in a funny song. It's somewhat funny. And so for the top of the hour, we'll just take like a 2-minute humor break. Take our headphones off for a second, stretch our ears, and then we will be back to continue the discussion for a few more minutes. Thank you for joining us, folks. Remember, you're the greatest, and love yourself every single minute. Breath, every single breath.
Sheltered from the summer sun, an old man sat cross-legged. I was sure he was the one. Before I can ask him where I should make my bed, he slowly raised his hand and slapped me upside my head. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. That's all he said to me. Much to my amazement and with my bloody nose, he said, sit down, relax, take off those heavy clothes. Let your feet rest in the sand and your head in the sky. And whatever you do, don't ask me the reason why. I sat still and rigid underneath the setting sun. My neck and back were aching, this definitely was not fun. He said, relax, little pilgrim, there's no book surrounding me. This is not the school of knowledge, be it as understanding simplicity. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. breathe and smile. That's all he said to me. It could have been seconds, maybe a week went by, but all I know is that I started to cry. My aching legs had vanished, I had wings and I can fly. When I turned to ask him a question, he poked me in the eye. Oh, breathe and smile. What you do that for? Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. That's all he said to me. Now this is crazy, I didn't expect it to be this way. I thought I'd meet some great guru, we would sit and pray. But oh no, I'm sitting with this madman, this Cheshire Cat in the robe. And he says I know the answer, and he won't tell me because it's right in front of my nose. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. That's all he said to me. Now I may be simple, and I may be insane, but after a while I started to understand his game. And besides, who knows what next he was gonna do to me. Already had a black eye, bloody nose, I didn't even tell you about my teeth. So stood alone on that cold, cold night, I sat and tried to smile and get my breathing just right. Then out the corner of my eye, I saw him flying towards me. He reached out in my heart, touched my soul and set me free. Oh! Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. Breathe and smile. And the world will set you free. He says, now when you breathe, it's the key to another reality. And when you smile, become that smile. Your breathing is the key. You can never stand outside something to understand what it means. You must become what you behold in order to behold what you see. A million years have passed and I'm sitting under a tree. And pilgrims walk by, they laugh, they point their finger at me. I say, relax to the pilgrim, there's so much more you can be. Here, take off that coat, relax, sit down next to me. Breathe and smile, my turn. Breathe and smile, your turn. Breathe and smile, and the world will set you free. Come on, do it with me. Breathe, smile. Breathe, smile. Breathe, smile, and the world will set you free. Oh yeah.
All right, folks, so we are back in the studio with Betsy Thomason at 94.5 FM, WMRW-LP, Warren, Vermont. And the following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, RootsWork. And for those of you listening live, we're going to continue with a breathing activity with Betsy Thomason, the revolutionary respiratory therapist.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Yes, I thought that since we've talked about breathing, that we should actually focus on breathing. So I proposed to Amy that we do a 15-minute or so mini breathing workshop right now, this very minute. So, you know, if you're driving, you could do some of it. But, you know, this is really for folks who are able to either sit in a straight back chair, not in a cushy, deep chair, but a straight back chair, or lie on the floor or lie on a bed. And the reason for the straight back chair, and a hard surface is good, but a mattress is okay too, is that your spine will give you feedback as you compress your belly towards the back of the chair. You'll begin to feel the back of the chair. And then as you release for the in-breath, you won't feel the back of the chair. So this is important. But your choice, whether you're sitting or lying down. And I have to say that I do not recommend that you try learning this when you're walking. Let's say you're a runner. Let's say you're a person who's very physically fit. Do this sitting or lying down, because it can get confusing. And I've found that even runners need to learn this first in a quiet place, no TV, no distractions, just you and your body in a straight chair with your butt all the way back in the chair and your shoulders over your hips. And if you're lying down, you know, get as straight as you can. And wiggle a little even. That helps your muscles to get used to the new position. So we're going to engage your imagination. You get to decide what image you want to help you move your belly button either towards the floor if you're lying down or towards the back of the chair. I'm going to suggest one that I call it the belly button string. Your belly button is a button, and there's a thread that goes through it. And under the bed or behind your chair is a genie who grabs the string and for your out-breath pulls on the string, bringing your belly button either towards the floor or towards the back of the chair. That's how the genie accomplishes your out-breath. Then the genie lets go of the string. Your belly button pops out. Your belly, if you're lying on the floor, your belly rises. If you're sitting, your belly pops out away from your chair. And the air comes in. And then you get right back to pulling on your belly button string. Down to the floor is your out breath. Long and slow. Play around with how long the genie holds the string. And then release the string. See, I cannot tell you how long your out-breath should be. You need to come to that determination yourself. Play around with it. Have some fun with it. See how long you can blow out before you release, before the genie releases the string. And how do you feel? Maybe it was a little too long, your body's telling you. So the next time you don't hold the genie, let's go with the string a little sooner and play around with it and see how long you should pull the string. That's your out breath. The releasing of the string is your in breath. That too I want you to explore and see how quickly you can switch back to your out breath without feeling out of breath. You want the in-breath to be as short as possible and the out-breath to be as long as possible. And you know, it all depends on your location. Right now you're either seated or lying down. You're not physically all that active. So you could do a really long out-breath. But if you're climbing stairs, you're not going to expect that your out-breath could be quite so long, but there is a ratio, a relationship between out-breath and in-breath. And I always mention the out-breath first because it's most important. Out-breath is always longer than in-breath. Sometimes it's twice as long, but it depends on what you're doing and your experience with physical activities. But you get to decide what works for you. And you don't need to worry about looking at the clock or counting breaths or anything. This is just about being in your out-breath, experiencing what it feels like in your muscles, and experiencing the in-breath and how quickly it happens because you've set up a vacuum. The genie is helping you to set up the vacuum that sucks the air in. This is what your body is not consciously used to doing, focusing on pushing air out and letting it in. We're used to breathing being an unconscious process. That's a wonderful thing, that our body will take care of breathing all by itself, that good old autonomic nervous system. But there are times when you want to influence your body. Maybe you're out for a walk or a run, or maybe you're in a traffic jam and your emotions are getting the best of you, you know? So you can manage your breath. And right now, in a learning process, you're exploring all the possibilities. How long do I blow out? The thing I noticed about waiting for the in-breath, as I've been teaching this over the years, I watch people's bodies as they walk, I count. In fact, usually in a workshop, I'll ask people to put their hands on their belly when they're breathing out. You can even press a little. And if you're having trouble moving your belly muscles, it's just because you're not in practice. So just place your hands on your belly and press either down towards the floor or towards the back of the chair. When you want the in-breath, just release your hands. And in the instant of releasing your hands, the air comes in. And then get right back to blowing out. And then get that rhythm going. Release. And then press. And push the air out, and visualize the genie pulling on the string. Or maybe you think your belly is a sponge and you squeeze the sponge to push the air out, and then you release the sponge and all the air gets sucked back in. That's what this practice is all about, experiencing how your body responds. So don't think that this little training session is the end-all and the be-all of your learning. This is the beginning. Muscles are slow learners. They're very smart, but they require practice. Practice, practice, practice. And you know, if you've ever practiced a musical instrument or played a sport, it takes practice. You have to dribble that ball. You have to play your scales. And then over time, it becomes more automatic. The same applies to the breathe out dynamic system. Practice it. You can go online, Betsy Thomason YouTube channel. There's a 10-minute video, which is the visual version of chapter 3 in the book Just Breathe Out, the How to Do It chapter. So if you're a visual person, you might appreciate that YouTube video. And at the end of each chapter, there are a set of questions that ask you what your intentions are regarding learning this and applying it in your life. So that's it, folks. It's really simple. It's two things: what you do for your out-breath and what you do for your in-breath. For your out-breath, you're bringing your belly button towards your spine with some kind of a visual image, because muscles love pictures of what you want them to do. So it's what you do with your for your out-breath, which is to bring your belly button closer to your spine, and for your in-breath, you're just doing nothing. You're just letting go. Let go, let the belly button pop up or out, and get right back to blowing out. I want you to discover that you don't have to wait for the in-breath. You don't have to count to three on the in-breath. It's in. By the time your belly has been released, the air is in your lungs already, ready and waiting for you to exhale again. And as you play around with this lying down, see, discover how your body's feeling. What's it telling you? It will tell you, maybe if, you know, people ask me, are there any side effects to this? Only good side effects, but there is one little thing you need to be aware of as you first learn this. You might get lightheaded or dizzy doing this. What that means is you've blown out too effectively. You've blown out too much carbon dioxide.
Oh.
Yeah, too much carbon dioxide, and you feel a little lightheaded and dizzy. So just back off on either the length of the out-breath or the powerfulness of your belly muscles. And be careful as you're learning this. You don't want to overdo your belly muscles, because they'll talk to you in a couple of days telling you, whoops, you exercise too much. Because we live in a culture where we don't use our bellies. So go easy with your belly. Be in praise of your belly. It's a great place, and use your hands gently on your belly if you need to give your muscles a little reminder about going back towards your spine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found for me the change in my abdominal strength has made a big difference. My posture's better since I've been practicing the breathe out dynamic. My stomach is stronger.
Wow.
And I do know that is a big connection for our ability to breathe well.
Nice.
Are those abdominal muscles.
Yeah.
And sitting up, the ability to sit up straight.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know a lot of folks have trouble with that. Maybe like women who have had
C-sections. Yeah.
Yes. And then you've got the uterus problem, the bladder problems. Mm. And so strengthening those abdominal muscles is important for all kinds of reasons.
And so just in learning the breathe out dynamic system, you're learning a fabulous exercise for your belly.
It's much more fun than belly crunch, than crunches. What are those sit-up crunches?
And sit-ups can be so bad for your low back. I mean, you can do belly crunches in the car. You can do them while you're washing dishes. You can, while you're trying to get to sleep at night is a perfect time to practice the breathe-out dynamic system.
Right. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, I love the chop wood, carry water aspect of this. You really are bringing a technique that is to help us with our daily actual lives as we live them.
Yes, and it allows us to analyze the work that we do. What's the hard part? The hard part is when you want to be exhaling.
Oh, so the hard, like you're swinging
the
axe.
You're swinging the axe. You decide what's the hard part. And maybe there's more than one hard part. So you exhale on the hard part and then quickly let the air in. And then on the next hard part, you exhale again. You pull in your belly muscles. So coordinating breathing with activity is one of the benefits of learning the breathe-out dynamic system. It's powerful energizer and a protector, because when you have strong belly muscles, you protect your low back.
Right. There's a huge connection there.
Yeah.
Definitely. Wow. Well, I really got a lot out of today's interview, and I'm sure our listeners have. We have just about 5 more minutes. Anything else we would like to cover?
Yeah, well, what are some questions you have, Amy, based on what I just taught that you might be wondering about? Let's pretend you are the audience, since we're not taking audience questions.
I totally forgot that we can take calls.
Oh.
I totally forgot. Oh, my goodness. I'm new at this, and I did want to try it. Hey, if anybody out there would like to call us, I do have the directions here on how to answer the phone. So if you would like to try calling us, I'm so sorry I forgot. It's 802-496-4951. If any listeners out there would like to call in, it's 802-496-4951, and you can ask Betsy some questions yourself.
Yeah.
Isn't this exciting?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes, because I brought, of course, posture is something that I was just covering with my health students when I stopped teaching health. One of the last subjects that I was really bringing into every classroom I could were posture lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And that importance of sitting up straight. Do you have any tips for that to help people?
Putting your feet flat on the floor.
Mm.
Hugely important. We cross our legs, but sitting up straight includes feet flat on the floor, shoulders over hips, ears over shoulders, so that your head is not forward. Everything is being supported by a plumb line that goes through the center of your skull, your shoulders, your sits bone, down to the floor, your gravity line.
I saw the phone ringing.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
And your abs, hugely important for posture, and it sounds like we have a call.
Hello, would you like to come on the air? Okay, hold on 1 second.
All right, we're facilitating a phone call here.
Hold. Hang up the real phone and top.
And we're working
press
on
the
it.
Top button. And where's the phone?
We are working.
Oh, telephone.
Here we go.
Hello, listener, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, go ahead. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for your show. I have been holding my breath a real lot when I'm doing something intense work or I'm holding my breath a real lot, and I just wondered if there were any tips to help stimulate me to, because I've been really trying to do better with my breathing.
Learn the breathe out dynamic system, and it will happen automatically.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a process. When I first learned the breathe out dynamic system, it took me a couple of weeks before I felt that I could. I knew it well enough in my muscles that I could combine it with walking. So
okay.
Take your time learning it. Have fun learning it. It's all about having fun and getting acquainted with your body and how wonderful it is and how malleable it is. It can change. And you need to believe that it can and that your mind and spirit are helping it to change.
So just try to be more focused on the breathing and...
Learn the breathe-out dynamic system. Focus on your out-breath. Bring your spine back towards the floor or your chair. Become flexible in your lower body. It's hugely important. But learn it. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to happen, might be a few weeks or a month. But you're going to, Amy, you learned, your body changed so much so quickly.
Yeah, and that was the same problem I was having too.
Really?
Yes. I was noticing I was holding my breath, especially when I was working hard. And awareness is the first step.
Right.
And love your body. It's a beautiful body. The reason you can love it, it's responsive. And it is going to respond to the breathe-out dynamic system. It will.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And breathe. My friend... Kelly Hunter, you know her, Amy. She said, breathe into your heart as well.
Yeah.
Always good advice. Yes, it's good care for our hearts and everything.
Right.
It's so natural.
I know it's been damaging to my system to be holding my breath and not oxygenating my blood. And
well, now forget all that, okay?
Okay.
Forget all that. And you're going to learn something new, something beneficial, and on we go with life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for changing the world with this.
Oh, you're welcome. Wow. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for recognizing the revolutionary capabilities of our breath.
Yes. Yes. Your breath, too.
Reaching out, we're sending out the love, and it's all rippling out there.
Mm-hmm.
The better shape we're all in, the better the world can be, right?
The more confident is that word that Amy used before. Absolutely. That we can do this. Absolutely, it's doable.
Yes. Thank you, Betsy. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for calling. Have a wonderful day and good luck.
I love WMRW. It's the greatest radio station in the universe.
And don't hesitate to go on my website, my phone number. Well, let me give my phone number. It's a Jersey area code, 551-265-7561. I love to talk to folks on the phone. Tuesdays, I talk to folks on the phone.
Will you tell me the first three again? Because my pen wasn't writing.
551.
Okay.
265-7561.
Okay. Excellent. Betsy Thomas. Thank you, Betsy Thomas.
Yeah, it's Thomason. Thomason.
Okay. I was wondering. Yeah.
Yep.
How I was catching that. Okay.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Oh, that was cool.
Excellent. Excellent question. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. It takes time for our bodies to adjust to a new dynamic. But our bodies do adjust, and it just takes a little time. And everyone can benefit from learning the breathe-out dynamic system.
Oh.
We
hello?
Another.
Do we have another caller? Oh. Yes, let me put you on there. Hold on one moment. So I hit. Oops.
Oh. We're working on
hello?
This.
Hello, are you there? Okay, hold on. I hit the wrong button. Hold on one second. Hang up.
Our wonderful...
Oh, hello? Okay, hold on one second. I did it wrong. Hold on. Hang up the real phone. Oh, shoot. Hello? Oh, can you call back real quick? I did them in the wrong order. I'm sorry. I'm new at this phone thing and I got excited. Can our caller please call back? We do have a few more minutes. No problem.
Good, good. So here we are. Let me just share with you again. Oh, we hit our phone call.
Hello, sorry about that. I know what to do now. Hold on. All right, hold on. So hold, hang up the real phone, and push the top button. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. What would you like to talk about?
I just wanted to point out it's awesome to hear somebody acknowledge the out-breath. I've been doing it for years with yoga practice and stuff, but also, too, mainly the fact of not really demonizing smokers and the acknowledgement that some people just need to smoke. I I am a smoker, but I do feel that there is a benefit, not a benefit to smoking, but the concentration of the out-breath and acknowledging the breath. I think my grandmother, she had not necessarily emphysema, but some kind of history with breathing, and it was because of smoking, but she would never exhale completely. It would just be a constant smoke ball, and I think that really hindered her health and recovery and stuff like that. But it's more just, it's great to hear somebody not making smokers feel bad, and that there is a path to either getting over it or just having a better breath.
Yeah, you do what you have to do in this world.
And then, too, I've been a glass blower, and so that's not the healthiest for the lungs, but it is also focusing on especially the out-breath. That's how you have to create things in glass blowing. And, yeah, there's a lot to breath. Thank you. Thank you for all of your great information.
You're welcome. And don't you use bellows in glass blowing?
No, it's all your own breath.
Oh, for the fire, but for the fire.
For the fire, that's gas-powered. So that's like a constant furnace at 23,000 or 2,300 degrees. but yeah, no bellows, not anymore.
Got it. So you're very physical work. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for your appreciation.
Yeah, and thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Hopefully you make it out to California and I can come and visit you one day.
Fantastic.
You're calling from California?
Yes, I'm in the mountains of California. We're currently in a big snowstorm. So,
can I just ask why you're tuned to WMRW?
I like public radio stations. I listen to a variety of them. And on one app, I'm able to discover new radio stations. And yours is one of my constant radio stations I always tune into.
Oh, we love it.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, I was just at the Vermont Association of Broadcasters annual meeting the other day up in Montpelier, and I was so proud to represent WMRW and the community radio stations, as all the commercial stations are struggling for talent, they're struggling for the youth to be interested in all that stuff, and then you look at the community stations and we are just overflowing with talent and with interest and passion. It really is where it's at. They're my favorite kind of station too.
Yeah,
yours is amazing. You have great music, great hosts, and radio programs like this one that you're providing. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a constant in my life.
Great. Well, lots of love to the West Coast.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for letting me practice the phones too. We'll do more. We'll do more of that for sure.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful day. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this has been a very exciting and lovely episode of the 4-H Show.
Yes, indeed.
And a celebration of WMRW and...
all over the country.
Humans and healing and breathing and laughing. Oh, it's always a good time when we have Betsy on. We're going to make you a regular. guest.
Okay.
Well, there are lots of more opportunities coming up in the future to hear from Betsy, including her workshop in West Thompson?
West Townsend.
Townsend.
Yep,
I'm sorry.
Down near Brattleboro on the 18th of March from 10 to noon. It's a free two-hour workshop to learn the basics of the breathe-out dynamic system.
Great. And we are going to bring you to this area. I know. We're going to make plans for that probably right now when we get off the air.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a wonderful day. And keep celebrating. Keep breathing. And know that you are the greatest. Remember that every breath you take. Take care.